if you don't have a Bible, slip up your hand and somebody will get one. If you'd like a Bible, just slip up your hand. Anybody need a Bible in the house? Say that everybody's got one. Donna needs one over here. Hallelujah. According to Chris. Hallelujah. Chris ratted her out. Hallelujah. Donna doesn't get mad. She gets even. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before I get into the word this morning, I just want you to listen. Everybody listen up. Listen to me. I encourage everyone to come out tonight. And I encourage you to invite family and friends that do not know Jesus. Because I believe there's going to be a mighty outpouring tonight. And in the midst of that, there's things that follow that. Amen. So I think it's important that we come back, and our youth have worked hard, and we want to support the Proclaim Youth Group. Amen. And so come out. Invite somebody out. Bring somebody with you. Praise God. You know, last week I talked to you about the Father's business. We spoke out of Nehemiah 4:6, where it said, "So built we the wall, and all the wall, and the wall was all joined together, one into another, for the people had a mind to work." And we talked about my Father's business, that it was a corporation, and it takes all parts. It's the construction business. God's in the building business. He's not only building structures, but he's building you and I, the body of Christ. Amen. It takes our cooperation, that we cooperate with him and we cooperate with one another. Amen. And the people had a mind to work. And what we talked about is our comprehension, is that we can accomplish whatever we set our minds to do. You know, nothing's too big if you set your mind to accomplish it. Whatever you set your heart and mind to do, you will accomplish. Amen? And those people, they had a mind to work, so they worked together. But today, we're going in a little different direction today in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is writing, there was a great offense, there was a great sin in the body of the church of Corinth. And it hurt a lot of people. And in this thing, Paul is encouraging them to the individual that committed the offense, repent it, and he asked forgiveness. And now the Apostle Paul is encouraging them to welcome him back into the body of Christ. You know, it's kind of, ministry is kind of it's like a balancing act. On the one hand, we don't want to indulge sin, but on the other hand, we don't want to be too severe towards sinners. Amen? Because that's who the Lord came to save. Amen? So at the same time, and the Apostle Paul said, well, if they didn't receive him back, he would go further and then he would run from God. We have a time to bring restoration and bring healing. But Paul's heart was heavy, because he hadn't heard from his spiritual son, Titus, which was overseeing the ministry in Corinth. And all of a sudden, Paul gets news that things are going well and restoration is coming and healing is coming and God's manifested himself in a mighty way. So I want to start reading with verse number 14 and 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make a manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, and them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Now, what he's speaking about here is Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So there's either good or bad. So it's either life unto life or death unto death. Not everybody receives the gospel. But what Paul was witnessing, he was witnessing a transformation of lives. And he says, where am I? There I am. And he says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ, or speak we in Christ. In other words, we're not going to corrupt the word. We're going to speak the word and complete, okay? It's the Genesis to Revelation and all in between. So the title of this morning's message, I'm going to focus on verse 14, which says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of the knowledge of us in every place. And this morning's message is titled, The Savor of His Favor. The Savor of His Favor. Now, when there was a triumph and there was a battle and there was a battle won, what they would do is they would parade through the kingdom, the chariots and the soldiers, and they would have priests and people with incense and flowers, and it would put off a sweet aroma. And the aroma we're talking about today is taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Amen? Amen. So when we, as his children, and we're sharing the good news of the gospel, it's a sweet savor. It's got an aroma. Amen. I don't know. Jesus is the rose of Sharon. Amen. And you think of that, you think of the aroma of God. There's three things I want to share out of our text today is the purpose, the plan, and the people. Amen. The purpose and the plan and the people. So can we lift the word together and make a declaration in the house today? Can we do this together? Repeat after me. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I could be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant, for I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do this day. So Father, I pray that Carl gets out of the way, any plan or any thing that I have, Father God. May I just lay that down on the altar right now, and Spirit of the living God, speak to me today. Lord, speak to each and every one that's gathered here today, because they really want to hear from you. So Father God, speak with clarity, with understanding, Father God. May each and every one that's gathered here today be built up, encouraged, and comforted by the preaching and teaching of your holy word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and honor and the praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. You know, we started off today as Thanksgiving, but thanks be unto God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I got so much to be grateful for. Amen. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my children. I'm grateful for my grandchildren. I'm grateful for the body of Christ. Man, I have so much to be thankful for. Amen. I know that my God has supplied each and every one of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm grateful. So he said, let's give thanks unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. I want you to do something for me. I want you to underline always in your Bible. That's a small word, but it's a big word. That he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always. 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 I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Always. Always. Always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Amen. In other words, everyone in the room is a winner. There's not a loser in the house. Amen. We're winners in Christ. But what I was looking at, he says, what causes us to triumph in Christ? God has a purpose, a cause, a cause. You know, without a cause, there's no conviction. Amen? So if we're followers of Jesus, I just want to go on a little trail here to establish purpose. So turn with me to John 18. John 18, verse number 37. This is Jesus speaking to Pilate. Jesus said in verse 37, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness." Wait a minute. "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Wow, what a statement. Jesus says, number one, he's the bearer of the truth. So if I'm a follower of Jesus, what am I? I'm a bearer of the truth. My purpose is to be a bearer of the truth. He says, everyone that is of the truth, hear my voice. He was saying to Pilate this: if you really wanted to know the truth, you would understand the truth. Anybody that really wants to know the truth will find out the truth. They will search for the truth. They will seek the answer. Amen? In other words, if you want to know something, you'll understand it. He is saying to him that everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. In other words, you are the truth. You were born of the truth. You were born of the Savior. You should hear his voice. You know, in the King James Version of the Bible, the word truth is in there 235 times, just the word truth, not true, truly. Just the word truth is there 235 times. So if I want to know the truth, and there's 235 scriptures concerning the truth, I believe I should read all 235 of them to establish the fullness of truth. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Amen. The problem is, we just can't take one scripture and establish truth. The 235 is where you're going to get the full establishment. You want to establish something, you study it out. You study yourself, you study the word to make yourself approved a workman, because you rightly are dividing truth. Amen? It's not a one-sided thing. You know, Jesus, not Jesus, but the beloved John writes in John 1, he said, "In the beginning was the Word," or the Logos, "the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life. The life was the light of man. The light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not." But the Word says in verse 14, "But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and full of truth." Again, just like in the scale with the ministry, you know, you're not indulging sin, but you're not too severe on the sinner. There's a balance between grace and truth. In other words, right now in our world, it's like this. The grace is all up here and the truth is down here. Because nobody really wants to know the truth, because they know the truth, they're accountable to the truth. Hello? Jesus said this in John 8, 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, and verse 31 in the New King James says, if you abide in my word. But in the King James Version, it says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, half truth will not set you free. God, you know, we said that we sat there, we make an oath if we went to court. We promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We don't? It's the truth. In other words, it's the full counsel of God. Jesus didn't write this book just because he felt like talking. You know, last week we talked about My Father's Business Incorporated. And that everybody has a part. I shared this the other night and Thursday night, but I feel led to talk about it this morning. I want to use, for example, Interchange Trucking Company. And we're going to parallel this because we've got several people that work for Interchange. All right, let's say that Interchange, there's an owner. There's a president, vice president, there's staff, there's bookkeeping, there's secretarial, there's warehouse, there's dock workers, there's trucks, there's deliveries. It takes every part working together to make a whole. And when you work for a company and you're involved with the company, you have a company policy book. If you work for a big company, you have company policy. What company policy is they have their part and you have your part. You do your part and they're responsible for their part. This is the covenant we have with the God. It's a two-way agreement. God says he'll do his part. You do your part. And we work hand in hand for the benefit of the kingdom of God. And the difference between this policy book is this policy book was written in blood. It's a blood covenant that Jesus poured out his blood for you and I. And he gave us this. So if I'm working for someone, and I'm working for a company, and I have my responsibilities, and the company has their responsibilities, and if the company isn't meeting their responsibilities, I'm going to go and say, hey, my policy book says that I have this and I'm not getting this benefit. Where is it? And we can go to the Father in the same measure. Because all the promises of God to him are yes and amen. He wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it. Amen? Amen? So I don't know about you. If there was a book of benefits, I would surely want to know what my benefits are. Amen? Just saying. So the purpose, what is our purpose? Our purpose, he purposed for us to be bearers of the truth. I'm a follower of Jesus. Jesus came to bear the truth. As a bearer of the truth, of being in the truth, I can hear his voice. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. You know? So as I'm walking with him and you're walking with him, I think it's so important for us to study the word out. Amen? Amen? Don't be looking for somebody else to tell you what Daddy wants to tell you. Amen? Are you with me? Do I need to make you laugh or something? Look to the one beside you. And say, God has a purpose in your life. Amen. He has a purpose in every last one of us. There's not one of us that are not called according to his purpose. And God says, all things are working together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. God has purpose for you and I. Amen. We're not just here just for the sake of being here today. We're here today because God purposed for us to be here today. You may think, well, I made that decision. No, God did. He put something on your heart that had put you in your heart to be here today. Because God wants you to hear something today. He wanted you to hear something today. Amen. He wants you to know how valuable you are. Amen. And how this world comes to degrade and to steal value, but God came to give you value, not to steal your value. You know? The Bible says you're precious. Amen. You're dear to the Father. You're dear to him. He loves you. And he's got a plan in your life. Amen. So if I have a purpose, I have a cause, the purpose or the cause is what convicts me, is what moves in my heart. Man, if I don't have a cause or a purpose, I just go through life aimlessly. That's why the writer of Proverbs says, he gives us a plan. He says, but without vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. And if you study that out, without vision, the people perish. Without revelation, it comes from the word revelations. Without understanding, without seeing, without, you know, you can't move towards something you can't see. You know, that's why God steps out. He says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a hope and an expected end. Amen. So not only do we have the purpose, he said, but there's also a plan. A plan. James 1. The Word of God says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror or in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way in straightway, forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. What were we talking about? The savor of his knowledge. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Amen. So what we're doing is, hey, we want to get into his plan. What is God's plan? God's plan is for man. God's not willing that any should perish. Amen? God, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not that which is, but that which was. Amen? Are you with me? In Habakkuk, chapter 2, Habakkuk was crying out in chapter 1 to the Lord, and he didn't have his answer. And he was seeking the answer from the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon a tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. He said, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. In other words, the vision is for an appointed time. Amen? He said, write the vision, write the revelation, write the understanding. I want you to understand something with me. Every time that you come into this house, we have a vision, and we have a vision, and we have a mission. You know, and God gave us a vision. You know what this vision is all about? The kingdom of God. I truly believe when he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believes and baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. I believe that in his name we're going to cast out some devils. I believe we're going to speak with some new tongues. I believe we're going to take up serpents, and if we drink any deadly thing, it's not going to harm us. I believe we're going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. I believe that's what this ministry is called to. That's what you're called to. We're all part of something for the kingdom of God. Jesus wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it. Amen? Amen? I think it's time for some sick people to be healed. Not only physically sick, but mentally sick. Spiritually sick. See, the prophet Habakkuk, he couldn't understand why an evil Chaldeans were going to come and take them captive. He didn't have the answer. He didn't know what was going on. But the Lord said, this is the first time the Lord said something to him. Usually he would go and speak what the Lord said, but the Lord said something to this prophet different. He said, I want you to write something down. I want you to make it plain. I want you to have it in front of people so that they see it, that they can run with it. You can, because without a plan, you know, there's no inspiration. Cause will bring conviction. Vision will bring inspiration. And, you know, vision and plans is what inspires me. I don't know about you. Have you ever been, how many like to go on vacation here? How many like to take off work? Okay, on vacation. And one of the things about a vacation, what do you do? When do you start thinking about the vacation? When you start planning for it. And when you start planning for it, you start getting what? You start getting excited about where you're going. Amen? Because without no plans, there's no excitement. Now, we've taken some vacations where we just went, but most of the time you're going to plan something, especially if you're going to take an airline or you're going to fly somewhere, you're going to do something. You're going to make plans. Amen? And God's got a destination for us. Amen? So what he's doing is he's laying out the plan step by step as how we can reach our destination. Amen? And he says that it has to be out there so everyone can see it and read it. So when they see it, they don't have to question it. That it aligns with God's word and they can run with it. Because everything should align with this. Because you know what? If it doesn't align with this, it isn't him. You hear me? If it doesn't align with this, it's not him. Amen? He doesn't need to add to anything, and he doesn't want to take away from anything. Matter of fact, he said, if you add to it or take from it, I'm going to add to your destruction, okay? In other words, we don't need to add to this. Everything that's spoken should align with the Word of God. If it doesn't align with the Word of God, you've got to go back and say, Lord, is that you? And he'll say, no. He doesn't need to give us anything new. He gave us everything we need. When Jesus said it is finished, it was complete. It was done. Amen? Amen? And now we're just entering the season of a latter rain outpouring of the Lord. And we're going to enter into where he's at work. And we're going to watch and see what the Lord's going to do. Amen? Amen? Don't you think it's awesome that God chose you to be part of it? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but I thank God. I thank God that God didn't say, hey. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to work around you. He said, no, I want to work through you. I just want you to be a vessel to be used for my glory. For his glory, not our glory. For his honor, not our honor. For his praise, not our praise. Amen? We're just vessels to be used for God's glory. Amen? 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 I remember with you. I remember when you first went in there, and they said there was nothing they could do this time. I remember that. You remember that? I was in the room with you. Remember that? That was a lie, wasn't it? God had a different plan, didn't he not? Amen? 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 I want you to know that he is our doctor. He is our lawyer. Amen? He is our psychiatrist. He is our helper. He is everything we need. Amen? We were talking about the other day. If the church arises to be where the church is supposed to be, the people who are sick are going to come here and not to the doctor. Guess what's going to happen in this nation? People aren't going to be able to afford health care and doctors. Who are they going to look to then? They're going to look to God. Because right now they can go around them, they feel, by going to the doctor, going to the pharmacist, going to those others. The church is supposed to be the answer to the world. He's the healer. He's the counselor. He's the provider. When somebody has need, the church is supposed to be supplying it. We're supposed to be feeding the poor. We're supposed to be clothing them. Amen. That's what the church is supposed to do. Amen. I think the church is going to rise up and be the church that we're called to be. Amen. Did that spit on you? It's Holy Ghost spit. Hallelujah. Huh? It has to be. Amen. So nothing that takes place is by accident. I want you to understand that no matter what you're going through right now, God's going to use it for His glory if you just allow Him to. If we just allow Him to be God, amen? If we just allow Him to be in that place. You know, most of the time I run to Him when I don't get the answer from anywhere else. Oh, I might as well go try the church. God has a purpose, God has a plan, and God always has a people. He always has a people. And He says this in John 16, 15. He said, you haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you or appointed you that you should bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He give it you. Amen? That you didn't choose Him, He chose you. Amen? Amen? You weren't looking for Him. He was looking for you. The Word says, no one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. Amen? Amen. He chose you. He has a plan in your life. You have purpose. You have plan. And all He's saying is, will you just be my people? You know, people, cause will bring conviction. Vision will inspire. But people motivate people. You know, people are motivated by you. Do you know that everyone that's in the room has an effect on someone, some way, somewhere? That we have an impact on someone? Amen? And God just wants you and I to understand today that 1 Peter 2:9, that you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. That you're a peculiar people. That we ought to be showing forth the praise of Him that brought us out of darkness into His light. Who at one time were not a people, but now, praise God, we're the people of God. That have not obtained mercy, but praise God, now we've obtained mercy. Amen? Amen. In other words, God said He can't do it without you. Amen? So in closing today, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. We have the purpose. We have the plan. And we have the people. Amen. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, I think they're all favorite. But one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8, verse 37. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Can we give thanks unto God that always causes us to triumph in Christ? Amen. The savor of his knowledge be manifest, the savor of his knowledge in us by each and every one of us. God has a purpose, he has a plan, and always just calling for you and I, his people. I like the old thing we used to do with here's the church and here's the steeple. Open the doors. We need the people.